So, do you like surprises? I do. Today is a surprise. I'm here offering a sermon, a meditation. A few days ago, I was on the phone. I had some thoughts about the day and about my life and my role and what God is calling me to be about. And I started to preach to myself. And then I called Mindy and I said, I've got some things to think about. And I'm thinking about the sermon this week. And then she says, would you like to preach that sermon? So that's my surprise. But I think when we come to church, we should always be surprised. I think we should come expecting to be surprised. I think that's what worship is about. We come to engage God who has something new to tell us. I mean, how boring is it if you come in every week and you always get what you expected to find? I mean, when you go out to a restaurant, a new restaurant, you don't want to order the same thing you had at the last restaurant. You don't want to leave and say, wow, that filled my expectations. You want to say, that exceeded them. I was pleasantly surprised. Or, oh, that was a wonderful surprise. No one leaves the place and says, oh, yeah, that's just what I expected. That's kind of what I thought. Yeah, I'm happy now. I did know one man who did that. I was serving a church outside of Hackensack, New Jersey. And this church, they were very traditional, very set in their ways. And one of the things I really liked about the bulletin was this little quote by Emerson about coming into the tranquility and the peace of worship. I thought, that's really nice. It was right there in the bulletin, right before the call to worship. And after a few weeks and a few months, I thought, you know what? Why don't we have something else there? Something that people can look at and say, oh, there's something new for me to think about. And so I changed it. The next day I got a call from a gentleman, an elderly gentleman who sat like right here. David, you're like right where he sat. And I realized that he had the day before kind of stared at me throughout the whole service because he wasn't happy about something. So he called me to his house and said, I have lost my Emersonian peace. I said, I don't know what that means. And he said, I expect that to be there. And then in the course of the next few weeks, I found out that he didn't like other things. Like, you know, that prayer should have been before the hymn and not after the hymn. It's always been before the hymn. It's never been after the hymn. He wanted things to be exactly as he expected. When we go to engage with God, God has something new to share with us, something surprising. And a lot of times, it's not just about who God is, but more importantly, who we are in this relationship, this family of God. So I hope you came expecting to hear or to see something or to discover something or to leave with something that you didn't expect to find. We like to be surprised. We like to be surprised like the people that came to listen to Jesus. You know, Matthew shares these wonderful teachings of Jesus, and Jesus is telling stories. He's saying things that the people had never heard before. They said, this rabbi, he doesn't teach like those scribes. He doesn't teach like the Pharisees. He's teaching something new. And so people from all over the place, they would travel and they would listen and they wanted to know more. It wasn't what they expected because God doesn't always give us what we expect. God asks us for more. God wants us to be surprised because we have an unexpected God who is always there. On this particular day, Jesus is talking about salt and light. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What does that mean? Now, Mindy said that she likes salt on her popcorn. Yes, she does. She likes lots of salt on her popcorn. I like salt on my popcorn, too. I like salt on my french fries, but sometimes it's a little bit much, a little bit crazy. But sometimes when we sit down to some favorite food that isn't seasoned the way we expect it to be, we're disappointed. We aren't filled. We kind of walk away a little disappointed. Years ago, I went to Tijuana, Mexico, with a group of folks. There were church members. There were some pastors. There were some seminarians. There were folks from just, you know, churches that said, hey, I've got this opportunity. I'm going to go to Tijuana. I'm going to help build a house. Now, when I say a house, the house would be smaller probably than this chancel area. It was two rooms. It was made out of concrete blocks that they poured themselves. We stacked them up. We put rebar in them. We tied the rebar together. We had hammers, and we pounded them and had a level, and we tried to make them as straight as we could, and we poured cement in them. This was their house. When it was finished, they'd have two rooms, a 15-amp circuit breaker, one 15-amp circuit breaker, in case they had something to plug in. These were folks that were very poor, and they needed help. They needed help from people who, like them, were searching for a better life and a better way to reach out to others. So we went there. It was hard work. We'd get up at 6 in the morning. We would go, and we put on the same clothes we wore the day before because they were covered with concrete and cement, and they were stiff. You could lean them up in the corner at the end of the day. At the end of the week, we would throw them away. But every day we'd go, and we'd work and work and work. And by the end of the evening, we were tired and hungry, and we wanted to do something new, so we explored the city. One particular night, as we were walking through the streets of one neighborhood in Tijuana, we saw this bakery. It had the most beautiful baked goods I'd ever seen in my life. We were drooling because all we were eating were bean burritos for lunch. And so at the end of the day, we saw these beautiful, beautiful pastries. So each of us got a box of these pastries. We took them back to this casa that we were staying in, and we sat down, and we all grabbed something to drink, and we pulled out one of these beautiful donuts. We took a bite and went, "Bleh! Haven't they discovered sugar in Mexico?" They were beautiful, but they weren't so good. They didn't have the taste. They really, it's not what we expected, but it certainly wasn't good. I think that if Jesus taught a parable, he might have taught a parable about the kingdom of God is not like a Mexican bakery. Because when you went and saw something very special and very beautiful and left disappointed or unfulfilled, you left thinking, "I didn't get what I hoped to come for," then we've lost something. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. What does that mean? I'm not going to talk about salt. We talked about that. I'm not going to talk about light, but I'm going to talk about two people that are salt and light in my life. And you probably know people just like this as well. They were role models for me so that I could get out of the church and go out and do things. They were people that said the church is a great place to be on a Sunday morning, but the church is not the building. The church is the people, and we've got to go out. The first person who truly had an impact on my life was Doris Smith. I was 9 years old. I was walking through this little town of La Porte, Pennsylvania. Anybody know La Porte, Pennsylvania? Really? I mean, 200 people live in La Porte. It was summertime. I'm walking down by the park that's in the middle of town, and there's Doris Smith, who I really wasn't sure who she was, surrounded by about 15 kids. And I'm walking along, and I stop, and I go, "What is this?" And they invite me to sit down. And Doris is teaching Bible stories and talking about missionaries and talking about what Jesus was teaching a long time ago that really means something today. Doris Smith had some high technology in her corner. She had a flannel board. Remember flannel boards? If you're really young, ask your parents or grandparents. That was like the iPad of when I was 9 years old. So the flannel board was there, and she had these cutout figures of people, and she'd tell stories, and she'd put them on the flannel boards. And as she was telling the stories and getting really excited, sometimes the people would fall off the flannel board, and she'd go, "Oops, there goes Peter. Oh, well, where'd Paul go? Oh, Paul's upside down. Oh, I'm sorry." You know. And she would tell the story. For the longest time, I thought flannel was a holy fabric because it revealed the kingdom of God to me. Doris Smith took the church out to the park where the kids were. And when school started again, she met in different people's homes, and we did all kinds of fun stuff. But we learned about the stories of Jesus. And we not only learned about the stuff that's in Matthew or Mark, we learned about what people were doing today. And she'd have letters from people that she knew around the world who were teaching the same stories in other languages and other places, and we would pray for them and learn all about that stuff. She's the person who gave me my first Bible. And the first thing she said when she gave it to me was, "Write in this book." And so my first Bible is full of little notes and stories and stuff that she told us. It was wonderful. Doris Smith was salt. in a fairly bland world of La Porte, Pennsylvania. And she brought light to us. And she continues to do that to today. The other person is Harvey Mast. Harvey Mast was a layperson from Michigan who was very active in his church, who felt called by God to do something very special. And this church in Gahanna, Good Samaritan Reformed Church, just came together. They were meeting in a school and said, "We need to do something. We're here called by God to be in this place." And someone said, "We should build a building." And then someone said, "Well, what does that do? We've got a building. We've got this school." And so for the first 7 years of their lives, they decided instead of building a building, they would invest in people. So they called Harvey Mast to be the church in the community. Harvey brought in gangs of kids, dozens and dozens of kids from the community who had no contact with anybody, and they found this one guy who cared. This was a church that said, "We have this friend who has cerebral palsy, and he lives in this nursing home, and he's got 20 other friends, and they like to do things during the week, so they'd invite him all over, and we would have dinner, and we would go out and have fun." Harvey would get a call in the middle of the night, he would be there. Every time I called Harvey, he was there. And Harvey would say, "You know, I'm just a regular person. I don't have a degree. I don't have a seminary education. I just love people, and God has blessed me." Harvey Mast was light. And I could go on and on. I could talk about Dar Cunningham, who on the day of my ordination said, "Don't forget, preach Jesus." And he winked at me and smiled because he knew I knew what that meant. We are to go out and preach Jesus, all of us, not just Mindy, not just the pastors who've been in this church, but everyone. We are salt. And if we keep that salt inside the container, it doesn't do a lot of good. We've got to spill it out. We've got to take that salt into the world. When our acolytes take those candles and they bring that light out, that's representation of Christ's light going into the world. But it's more than that. We are the light that goes into the world. I have four cards that I wrote notes on, actually three. The fourth one's empty. This is your card. What are you going to put on your card? What are you going to say to yourself about being salt, about being light, about being called, about being sent out? What are you going to do to be Grace Church for the world? What are you, what am I, what are we going to be as the people of God in this little corner of God's kingdom that we've been entrusted to bring salt and light, to be seasoning, to bring hope, and not just blend in with a lot of blandness that may be around us? We've been here 200 years, and that's pretty much something. But if that's all we have to rest on, it's not enough. We need to go out. We need to be the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. May God bless us in that. On this day, when you go out those doors, be salty, be light, be Christ. Amen.